everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I am your host, Katie Boateng. This week, join me in listening to an episode with Anita Di Chiara, an acquired anosmic from Rio Cuarto, Argentina. Anita works as an English as a foreign language teacher, and she shares her anosmia story with all of us, including how she became anosmic back in 2016, and how she misses the smell of puppies, bakeries, and Argentinian asado. Our interview was recorded in January 2021. Let's listen to the interview. So, hi, Anita. Welcome to the Smell Podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, Katie. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for joining us. So, to kick off the interview, let's do it the same that I usually always do. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? What do you do for work? Where are you from and where do you currently live?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm Anita. I'm 25 years old and I'm from Argentina. I was born in a city that is right in the middle of the country and I have lived here my whole life. And I'm a teacher of English as a foreign language. That's why I know how to speak English, because we speak Spanish in Argentina. And I have been teaching English to children, teens, and adults since 2016. And, well, yeah, that's basically me.
That's fantastic. So we connected online and in a Facebook support group for anosmia. So can you start off as well by telling us a little bit about your anosmia story?
Yeah, I guess that my anosmia story started in 2016, because that's when I noticed that I wasn't smelling anything. The last memory of smelling something was around the end of 2015 or the beginning of 2016, because it was on my summer holidays and I traveled to a place where there was a lake, and I remember that the lake, the water had a terrible smell. So that's the last memory of smelling something. But around May or June of 2016, I noticed that I wasn't smelling anything at all. So I decided to book an appointment with an ENT specialist. And when I visited him, he asked me to do a procedure that it's called fiber optic laryngoscopy. It's basically a procedure in which the doctor puts a very tiny camera into your nose and it goes back right to your throat. Mm-hmm. It's a procedure that usually singers do. They take it to see their vocal cords. But in this case, the doctor was observing my nose cavity. It was not a nice experience having that camera going right into my nose, but due to that procedure, he observed that my turbinates, it's like a part of the nasal cavity, were swollen, were like inflamed. So he prescribed me some pills in order to see if the turbinates got better. Mm-hmm. And he told me that if after finishing taking those pills, that I don't remember exactly how long I took them, but it was like a couple of weeks. After taking them, I wasn't smelling anything. He told me you should visit a neurologist because your loss of smell may be due to a neurological problem. So I was kind of scared because I didn't know what was going on right in my nose. So I took the pills, I finished them, and I wasn't smelling anything. So I booked an appointment with a neurologist and he asked me some questions about my health, about some symptoms that I didn't have and I hadn't had in the past before. And he basically told me, you should visit another ENT doctor because the loss of smell due to a neurological issue is always accompanied by other symptoms that you are not showing and that you have never had. So this is not something neurological. So I didn't know what to do. I mean, I had visited like two doctors in a couple of months and none of them was giving me any answer. So the city where I live is not that big, so there are not many medical centers, but there was one that was like an ENT specialized medical center, but it is private, and it was kind of expensive, and my medical insurance didn't pay for it. So I say, whatever, I'm going to pay for it because it's my health and I want my my sense of smell back. And I pay for an appointment with a doctor, and he asked me to do an x-ray of my nose, and he observed that I had a little sinusitis. So he told me, I'm going to give you some pills that are kind of strong. You have to take them for 7 days and no longer than that, because they have corticoids, so you can't take them for more than 7 days. And if after taking these pills you don't smell anything, I'm sorry, but you have lost it. And I was like, okay, this is like my last chance of getting my sense of smell back. So I took the pills for those 7 days, and of course, after that, I didn't smell anything. So the doctor explained to me that, basically he told me that I just had to give up. And he explained to me that losing your sense of smell is more common than usual. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's pretty common. Probably I had a flu or a cold or something that seemed to be pretty silly, but it may have affected the nerve that gets the smells and sends the information to the brain. And I may have lost it because of that, and I didn't notice it. So, yeah, basically, since 2016, I have lived without having the opportunity of smelling anything at all.
Your story sounds so common to that, to those other stories that I've heard from others as well. And it's just so unfortunate because you go through a lot of emotional, emotional trauma, visiting different doctors and things and trying to figure out what's going on with you. Right. And then to have someone just tell you, this is it, deal with it. That's so hard.
Right. And at that time, I didn't know what anosmia was. I didn't know that it even existed. So it was very shocking at the beginning.
Yeah. So that leads to another question for you. Did any of these doctors use that term with you, anosmia, or did you find that out after the fact?
The last doctor that I visited in the ENT medical center, he called it anosmia. The other previous doctors didn't mention it.
Interesting. Yeah. A lot of times we find out what's going on with us on the internet, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, I started doing some research online about this issue once I started noticing that I wasn't smelling anything. So what I know about anosmia is basically what I have researched on my own, not what doctors told me.
Yeah, and since you're in Argentina, we've talked about this beforehand, but just for the interview, are there any kind of patient support groups that you're aware of in Argentina?
Well, when you mentioned this, when we talked about this in the past, I didn't know anything about it. So I Googled it and I couldn't find any support group. So you tell me that in the States, I think that there were none or there were a few support groups. I don't remember your answer, but in Argentina, I couldn't find anything about it. I just found a Facebook group that is called Anosmia in Argentina. And that is where I found a couple of people who had the same problems, especially last year due to the COVID issue, and that it causes loss of smell. A lot of more people started joining the group, but there were very few people in that group when I joined it.
Yeah, so when we talked before, I had mentioned that there are currently no active smell groups in the United States. So I'm actually working with some colleagues to get that formed. So it's going to be called the Smell and Taste Association of North America. So yeah, it's thestana.org. So if you visit that website, you'll find some information about our newly formed group that we're working on. But my hope and my goal is for everyone who lives in different countries is to eventually have the same kind of resource available to them.
Right, right. Because I guess that there may be a lot of people in Argentina who have the same problem, and probably they feel that they are alone. I mean, at the beginning, I felt as if I was the only one in the city who had the problem. But I guess that there may be other people who have it if it is that common, as doctors say.
Yeah, and I guess another question for you that comes to mind is, how did you feel when you found that anosmia in Argentina page?
Well, I felt relieved because, as I told you, I felt as if I were the only one having this problem. And when I found that Facebook group, I noticed that there were other people who also had the same problem as me, or that they were even born without the sense of smell. So that was surprising, but it was relieving at the same time.
Yeah, it's always nice to find someone else who just completely understands you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so switching gears, next I'd like to talk with you a little bit about how anosmia has impacted your relationship with food and eating. Do you think that it has had an impact on your relationship with food and eating?
No, not really. This last doctor that I visited, he explained to me that some people loses their sense of taste together with the sense of smell. And it was kind of scary at the beginning. But now that I have lived with it like for 5 years, I don't notice any significant change in relation to my relationship with food. Of course, I miss smelling some food or meals. For example, if I walk right in front of the bakeries in the early morning here in Argentina, there is. I mean, I can't smell it, but I remember smelling the smell of bread being cooked. The bakery's smell was something delicious. And also in Argentina, we have a very common meal that it's called asado, that it's similar to the barbecue. And every family cooks asado on Sundays. So if you are in the street, you are going to smell asado, asado smells coming from every house. And I miss smelling that. Definitely. But I still enjoy it. I mean, I can feel every flavor in the meal, but the smell is something that I definitely miss.
Yeah, barbecue sounds fantastic. And so another thing is with your relationships with others in your life. So you're a teacher. And then also just with like your family and your friends, and then again, bringing up your students. When smell comes up for you in your daily life, do you take the time to explain to everyone that you can't smell?
That's a great question. At the beginning, I did. I had to explain it because none of my friends or even in my family, they didn't know that the smell could be a sense that people can lose. So I had to explain them what I knew about it. So at the beginning I did. And of course I got some very common questions like, how is it possible? Can you taste the food? Can you smell like, I don't know, terrible odors coming from the bathroom? And I'm like, no, I can't smell any of those. But nowadays, when people that is not part of my friends or my family, and they just, I don't know, invite me to smell something, I just say, I'm sorry, I can't smell, and that's it. But regarding my students, especially with children, they always come to me and show me, I don't know, their brand new pen that smells like cherry, or they have an eraser that smells like fairy powder. I don't know. They have like those stationery stuff with cute smells. And they come to me and show it to me. And I pretend that I can't smell it because they are not going to understand that I can't smell for real. So I just say, delicious. And that's it. I pretend that I can smell it, but I just don't take the time to explain to it to little kids.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me as well. It's probably way too time consuming to explain to a child.
Yeah, no.
So another question that I have for you that I like to ask everyone who comes on the podcast is in regards to how you view anosmia, whether or not you self-identify as having a disability. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that anosmia is the same as having a disability?
Well, not really. No, I don't think that it is a disability to me because I didn't have any significant change in my life since I lost my sense of smell. I mean, I have been living with it for 5 years and I could do all the things that I wanted to do. Of course, sometimes I need the help of another people, like my boyfriend. If I had, I don't know, some food that I think that it's not in a good state, I ask him to smell it or I just taste it. But sometimes I need help from other people, but it's not always. I mean, I can survive without the help of other people. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are some devices that you can buy online or whatever, and they have like those alarms that tell you if there is a fire in your house or if there is a gas leak. I don't have those, but I know that they are available, and when I need it, I know that I will buy them and they will help me identify like those dangerous smells in my house once I live alone. But no, I don't think that anosmia is a disability for me. I always think that worse things could have happened to me. Mm. I mean, if I had lost my sense of taste, that would be, I don't know, the worst thing ever for me. I love food with all my heart, and I can't imagine having a life without tasting anything, or even the sight, or hearing. I think that losing those senses is way worse than losing the sense of smell.
So. Yeah, I always like to hear what people think about it because there's so many different answers. So thank you for sharing your thoughts. So my next question for you is, what would you like people who do not have anosmia to know about what it's like living with it?
Well, first of all, I would like to tell them that this is more common than usual. It's a problem that a lot of people have, and that probably they don't know about it. Probably they think that they lost their sense of smell due to a cold and they think they are getting it back. That's what I thought at the beginning. But something very silly can cause you to lose a smell, like, I don't know, an accident or a cold, a flu, whatever, a virus. Now with the COVID situation, many more people have lost it, so it's more common than expected. And I would like to tell them to appreciate like those everyday smells that you don't pay attention to. I mean, now that I can't smell anything, I realized that in the past I didn't appreciate, like, for example, the smell of the rain or the smell of some flowers. Or even the smell of puppies. That is something that I would like to smell again. I love dogs with all my heart, especially puppies. And they have like a special smell that only puppies have. So
they do, yeah.
Yeah. So I would tell them, enjoy those little smells because they are very important, even though you don't pay attention to them.
Yeah. Smell is definitely underappreciated until it's gone.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I think about myself, I don't know, 10 years ago, I didn't even pay attention to what I was smelling or not. I mean, I just took it for granted. I wasn't appreciating it the way I should have done.
Mm. Yeah, that's normal, I think. I think everyone does that. So that's a good message out of all of these interviews as well, is to really appreciate your sense of smell while you have it.
Right.
And hopefully people never lose it.
Yeah.
So this next question, I'm also interested in your thought process. If you could have a sense of smell again, would you want it back?
Yeah, definitely. I want to smell puppies again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. I would want it back.
Me too.
Especially because something that worries me, that I think that this is the only thing that worries me about not being able to smell, is thinking about the future and thinking about the moment when I have babies.
Mm.
Because I'm not a mother right now. But in the future, I would like to have a baby one day. So thinking about not being able of feeling the smell of my baby, or even noticing when I have to change his or her diaper.
Mm.
That worries me a lot. I know that I'm going to be able to manage it, because I know that there are a lot of people who are anosmic and have children and they don't have any problem. But if I had the opportunity of smelling again, I would definitely want my sense back in order to smell my babies in the future.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The next question that I have for you is in regards to your memory. So this is kind of a newer question that I'm starting to ask guests who come on. But mm-hmm. Do you think that being anosmic impacts your memory formation in any way?
Well, I'm not sure. Some of the people that I have told about my anosmia had mentioned this. The sense of smell is pretty connected to your memory and your memory's formation. And I was like, really? I don't think so. And I'm not sure if it had affected my memory formation, because if I think of myself, I don't know, a couple of years ago, before losing myself, my sense of smell, I don't have any significant memory connected to any smell. So I don't think that it has affected my memory formation at all.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in this question.
Yeah.
An example is, like, I know that a lot of people on the Facebook support groups will talk about when they walk into their parents' house and there's a certain smell there, and it brings them back to their childhood and things like that. So I'm interested to figure out whether we as anosmics have noticed any differences in our memories.
Right. Well, taking that example into account, I still live in my parents' house. So I don't know if in the future I live alone in another house. When you come back to my parents' house, I don't know if that is going to affect that feeling or not.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but yeah, I know. I get your point. Some people say that.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else that you would like to share with listeners?
I guess that I have mentioned it all. Just to enjoy those everyday smells that you don't appreciate, and to be aware that it's something more common than usual, than expected. A lot of people are anosmic, and I guess that this should be an issue that should be more known by people. I mean, on the internet or on the media, they should talk about it more in order to make people feel not alone, that they are not the only ones,
mm-hmm.
like weirdos not being able to smell. No, there are a lot of people who are suffering for it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we've all started to talk about it. And the more that we start to talk about it and raise awareness about it, the mm-hmm. more people come out of the woodwork and say like, oh, I have that too. And they've never told anyone.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Probably they didn't notice it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how can listeners get connected with you on social media?
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook. And on Facebook, my username is Anita Di Chiara. That's AnitaDiCiara.
Fantastic. And I'll also make sure to include a link to that in the episode notes so that listeners can find it that way. But great. Thank you so much for joining. It's so fantastic to speak to someone from Argentina. You are the first Smell Podcast guest from Argentina. So congratulations.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you a lot for having me today here. And I want to thank you for all your effort and everything that you do to raise awareness on this issue, because I guess that your podcast, your website and everything is giving people the possibility to share their stories, to give voice to their stories as well. And definitely you're providing a lot of support for a lot of people. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you for saying that. That's my favorite part of doing these kinds of interviews with people is just that main piece. You're not alone. And there's so many people out there that are like us. So I really, that's the overall goal of the podcast, is just so everyone knows that there's others who are just like us out there. So thank you again for coming on. And it was nice to speak to you.
It was nice talking to you too.
Thank you to Anita for coming on the podcast and sharing her story with all of us. It's nice to have someone on the podcast representing Argentina. If anyone listening is from Argentina or interested in joining the Argentinian Facebook group, the link is in the episode notes. If you'd like to connect with Anita directly, I've also included the link to her own Facebook profile in the notes as well. So this week, I have an additional update that I'd like to share with you all. I'm excited to continue announcing that the Smell and Taste Association of North America, or STANA, is being formed. Currently, there are no active patient organizations focused on smell and taste disorders in the USA. The aim of STANA is to become this much-needed resource. Our mission is to provide a voice for people with smell and taste disorders through education and public awareness. We advocate for funding for research on smell and taste disorders. We collaborate with individuals living with these disorders, healthcare professionals, and institutions to provide evidence-based education, resources, and networking opportunities. We also partner with organizations around the world who are aligned with our vision to broaden our outreach. STANA's website is online at www.thestana.org, and the fundraising website is located there as well through GoFundMe. We are raising funds to pay for the startup costs of becoming an established 501c3 organization. If you are able to donate to help us get started, that would be much appreciated. If you are unable to donate at this time, please consider sharing the fundraising page with your networks so we can raise the funds needed to get established. For any questions, or if you'd like to get involved, please visit thestana.org or email us at info@thestana.org. All right, so back to wrapping up regular podcast business. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can reach me at thesmellpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at The Smell Podcast, and visit online at thesmellpodcast.com. I'm always interested in sharing listener stories. Please rate, review, and subscribe to The Smell Podcast if you listen using iTunes, because reviews are helpful and they allow others to find the show. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, you can do so by clicking on the link in the episode description. I appreciate your support. And a huge shout out to everyone who's currently contributing to the show monthly, because your generosity is what makes the podcast possible. Until next time, have a great day and stay healthy and safe.